This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
In the spring of 1978, Akbar Nazemi was living in Dusseldorf studying photography. Then one day, a friend asked him if he had heard about the demonstrations in Iran. He says he began packing immediately and was back in his home country by July. When he got there, he started taking pictures of what eventually became the Iranian Revolution. Those pictures are the subject of a remarkable exhibition that opened at Presentation House Gallery last month. And Akbar Nazemi joins me in the studio this morning. Hello. Welcome.
Good
Akbar.
Morning, everybody. Salam.
Now, when you went back and you committed yourself, you made a decision, you are going to take photographs. Mm-hmm. Was that easy to do? Because this is the process of making a revolution. So there's still the Iranian Shah's police, the Savak, etc.
Exactly. That's why I working as a freelance photographer. Freelance photographer doesn't have any ID to showing to the guard, to police, or to the army. I had a first few months very hard time because the revolutionary people thinking I working for Savak. Other side, the government and an army thinking, okay, I'm from the revolutionary people. That was really hard in the between. But what we did, I go every day at the morning at 7 o'clock until midnight. We had a 1 month martial law curfew set. And between 8 o'clock the night until 7 o'clock the morning, no one can go in outside. But because we had a flat roof in Iran, we running and walking on the roof through the city.
When I saw your photographs, a lot were taken from high above. So this is, in part, this was a safer place from which to be able to see what was happening.
Not really. Every photo is, some photo is because it's a little bit high angle. I always sit in one of my friend's shoulder and taking the picture because I want to take more crowd in my picture. And they hide in the film at the time, you know, because every checkpoint, they checking me and to find the negative, you know. I rolled the negative, hiding in the wall, in the hole of the wall. Next day, without the camera, going, taking out from the wall, going to the process. And then at the midnight, we processing the film, printing in small pieces. We hanging it to the wall and to the university as a newspaper, as a
document.
Yeah, document, because at that time we couldn't have any newspaper to showing what's happened last day or last week. That's why we hang into the printed, posted to the wall. We're using the wall as a newspaper.
And was it difficult also? I mean, you're taking pictures, you have to be very careful. And you're developing the film by yourself, not in a shop. And with regards to getting film, was that also a challenge?
That's usually I using a roll-end film. They shooting the 35mm camera at the motion picture camera. At the roll-end, I cut it in the dark room, roll it to the can. I using the tape with the camera, and because some shop was closed, we couldn't buy the film. We had used it for. I took about 4,000 photo, and at the same time I had the small Bolex, with me, the 16mm camera. I taking the film and picture. About 40 hours or 30 hours of the film, plus 4,000, around 4,000, 3,800 picture.
So you took a huge number of pictures. Some of those you were able to retrieve finally from hidden places. Some, I gather, you hid them in places that were destroyed.
Oh, yeah, that's why it happened, because, you know, in revolution, we had a glorious time. is coming out, the book, thousand newspaper and book and white cover book. That means everything about the all the information about communists, about the Marx, about the Engels, about the right, left, everything. All best time for the information, the people. After revolution, we have some word that we say revolution ate on children. They started to wrap it. They started to take it everything. Because of the military, of the militia of revolution, people hiding everything under the ground, or they burn it by themselves. Of course, I bear it, my footage, 16 mil footage, on the can under the floor.
And were you able to get that back, or no. Some you lost?
No, no. The old footage of 16 mil, unfortunately, is lost because my brother sold the house to somebody, and they construction the building, and I was in outside, and everything was gone.
In the photos that are on exhibit at the presentation gallery, it's a selection still from a much larger collection.
Oh yeah.
In the presentation gallery exhibit, a lot of the photos are of large, huge scenes where you get this tremendous feeling of the popular participation. Is that representative of the total collection, these kinds of mass, large rallies and demonstrations and so on? They were really numerous, lots and lots of them?
Yeah, when if the revolution is noble, because I think because of participation of a different group, women who don't wearing the Islamic dress, communist people, intelligence people, liberal people, every different mind was participate in this revolution during the 8 month revolution. They marching about 2 million people on the street or more, you know. And again, I take every second, every minute, at the morning, at the midnight, taking the picture. After 2-3 months, all demonstrants know my face. They know I'm not behind the military. Then they help me. They help me. They hide my camera sometime. The woman hide me. At that time, everybody leave the door open at every alley, every street. When they follow us, we're running the street, pushing the door. Any door is open, we go inside the house.
In some of the pictures that are on display, there are women very prominently displayed in participating in the revolution, and women sometimes are in what I would call European Western dress, and some are in the traditional Islamic dress, the chador. And also in some of the pictures, it seems it's almost entirely men. Could you comment a little bit about why women, where women participated?
Yeah. Why is it different? Because in revolution time, when Ayatollah Khomeini invite people coming to the street, fundamentalist or when the religious people come into the street, they divided women and men in two different side of a street to marching, not mixed together always. But in other side, the communist group or liberal group, when they march into the street, there was a mix. That's why there's a different picture in my exhibition.
And was the chador seen as a way of expressing some kind of opposition Shah?
Yeah, that at the Shah time, let me tell you something. Is chador is our tradition dress in Iran. I don't want to say everybody like it to wearing the chador, but again, 60-70%, even at the Shah time, they wearing the chador. My mother wearing the chador. My sister wearing the chador. We don't have to afraid about chador. Chador is like dress, like T-shirt. You're wearing that. Everybody have to wear it. Is it the law? You cannot go without the Islamic cover to anywhere. even not, you cannot come in off, out of the street. At the short time, some people wearing the chador, some people not. But usually when I go to any small city, especially when I go out of Tehran, everybody wearing the chador.
When many of your pictures are of large scenes of people, and they're not individually identified. But you had one picture of two women who were sitting together and obviously cooperating. One is a supporter of the Communist Party of Iran, and the other is a supporter of the Fedina Kalk, another group, who is dressed in the traditional dress, as you said, the black chador. Why? What were you trying to tell the viewer with this picture?
Yeah, the view of the picture expressing my feeling at the time of the revolution, because is again is a beautiful time for our people, for everybody, to see the Fedaiya Khalq is a left group, communist group. They don't believe anything like religious or anything. Sitting beside the Mujahideen Khalq, they was deeply involved in Islam and believe in the God and Quran. They're sitting, the woman was at the right side with the red dress from the communist group. The left side with the chador is from the Islamic. I want to show you how working together, how enjoy together to making better future life for Iranian people.
The revolution itself is something which has this great positive energy and enthusiasm which you're communicating. It's also a time of great suffering, with people being killed and wounded and so on. And it's a time of sacrifice with great hope. And yet for many of the people who participated, the hope, the dream they had has not been realized in the result. As you said, sometime the revolution eats its children. Emotionally, how do you feel about these kinds of sacrifice and joy and disappointment? They all seem part of the same process.
You know, because it's again, radio talk, is we have always limited by the time. This is really hard answer for this question. I have to have time, at least half an hour, speaking about it. You know, we have a word in Asia that's called Asian dictatorship. It's a start from Russia, go to Iran, Middle East, go to back India, Japan, and China. Is a huge dictatorship behind the history, about 2,000, 3,000 years old history of dictatorship. In every us, we have a gene of dictatorship in our body. For example, right now, after 16 years, I try to push my daughter what I think have to wear, she have to wear it. That is the dictatorship. But I don't have a power here to pushing my daughter. But when I go back to Iran, I have the power to push it. I said, first of all, we have to start it to train ourselves for democracy, and then of course in our country or everywhere we can have it, real democracy for everybody.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Akbar. I've been speaking with Akbar Nazemi. He is a Vancouver-based photographer, documentary filmmaker. His photo exhibit, which we were discussing, is titled Unsent Dispatches from the Iranian Revolution, 1978 to 1979. It's still showing at Presentation House Gallery in the North Shore until April 17th, next Saturday or Sunday. In conjunction with the exhibit, Presentation House has published a wonderful book of photos and articles about various aspects of the revolution, and you can get that at the gallery, or you can find out how to order a copy from their website. It's Presentation House Gal, with two L's, .com.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.